Kiddos, I hope you have a good time in the Word of God. As you go to refresh, while they're making their way, you can turn in your Bible to Psalm 71. That's where we're going to look today. Just want to remind you about a few important things that are happening in the life of our church family. Number one, our essentials class is today at 3 o'clock. If you can attend, there's no arm twisting or anything. You don't have to join. We're just trying to give you the information that you need to prayerfully consider that opportunity. So you can come today and you don't have to make a decision today, but you can come and get information. Also, too, I want to encourage you. We gave these out last week. If you didn't get one, I hope that you will take one. They're on that back table back there, and it's going to be, we're in 40 days before the celebration of His resurrection. And we're going to have a Good Friday service, we're going to share some of what God has done and how God has worked. So I want to encourage you guys to get that and to write in it. Make notes. Make notes about what God is doing and how He's working in your life. You know, a lot of times we talk about the people from the Bible, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to stop sometimes and think about, what's God doing today? What's He doing in my life? What's He doing in the lives of others? And acknowledge that and refer to it. You'll also see an announcement about a ladies' Bible study that's going to start in the month of March. So you can find out some more information, or Lori, if you'll raise your hand, you can talk to her. She'll be happy to give you more information about that. Well, I want us to look here in Psalm 71. You know, sometimes you can feel like, as you read through the Psalms, you can feel like, well, how does that apply to me? How does that work in my life? Well, I want you to think, as we walk through this psalm, who is your refuge? Who is your safe place in life? Where do you go when you need to feel protected? You need to feel like you're okay and you're not going to be attacked here. Or, you know, when you think about what happens in our world today, sad as it is, you know, it may be hard for you to sleep. Where's a place where you can just rest? You don't have to be doing all these things. You don't have to be working in all these ways. You can just simply find a place of refuge, a place to stop, a place where there is not this constant barrage of things before you. Things you have to think about, things you have to take care of, things you have to manage in some way. And that's what David found. He found in God a place of refuge. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So who is your source of protection? Who do you turn to when others question your integrity or your testimonies? What story? Are you telling others about yourself? The first thing I want us to look at in this psalm is, I pray for my refuge. Now, some might say, we don't know for sure who wrote this, and we don't know for sure, but there are some signs that he gives to us. There are some things that he says. You know, one of the things in this psalm that he mentions is the playing of the harp. You remember David played the harp for Saul to calm him down, to keep him steady and focused. That's one of the things. A lot of the language that is used in this is a language that David has used in other places. He's used it before. So I want us to look at the first six verses of this passage and talk about this idea of, I pray for my refuge. Meaning, if I were David, I would say, I, just like we sang a few minutes ago when we said, I trust in God. I cried out to Him and found in Him my answer. I trusted the Lord, and He came through for me. So, let's look at this. Psalm 71. In You, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. The personal side. In Your righteousness, deliver not us, but deliver me and rescue me. Incline Your ear to me. Save me. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me, for You are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and the ruthless man, for You are my hope. O Lord God, You are my confidence from my youth, but You I have sustained from my birth. By You I have been sustained from my youth. You are He who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually on You. Now, we could just look at that. That really is the heart of the psalm. There's some other things he's going to tell us. But the first thing we need to start with is the reality of praying that God would be our refuge, our place of safety, our place of security. In the midst of the struggles that we face in life, that we would have God as the one who watches over us. I've mentioned it before as we talk about the psalm, but he starts out when he says, I have taken refuge. Now, that is what the Hebrews call a perfect tense verb, which means there's activity that leads up to that. And if David is the person who wrote it or the psalmist, however you want to look at it, there are consequences after I have made my choice. There are blessings that come to me by making God my refuge. That's the power of this thought and idea. He says there, let me. This is the prayer. Let me deliver and rescue me. Incline Your ear to me. and save me. Be a rock. Rescue me. Do not cast me off. Do not be far from me." Can you feel the intensity with which David starts this message? He says, hey, look at the importance of having God as your refuge. Don't try to do it all on your own. Don't try to do it in your own strength. Don't say, God, I got this. Tell him I don't have it. I got you. And when I got you, I've got everything that I need in whatever circumstance I find myself in. He is the one who is willing to be our refuge, our tower of strength, as we sung a few minutes ago. As we look at this psalm together, he says, starting in verse 8, "I have become a marvel to many." Why? "For you are my refuge." That's why people look at my life and think that, wow, he must have it all together. But it's not him, it's his God, or it's her God, that gives us the ability to say, that, my friend, is a life that is lived with God as their refuge. That's a picture of what it means. You know, a lot of times when we face problems in life, when we face difficulties, it's easy to run to a solution. A worldly solution that we might get. It's easy for us to feel as if, well, I've got to solve this thing on my own. I've got to work this out by my own ability, my own talents, my past experience, the knowledge that I have. But is that really what the writer of the psalm is saying? He's saying, cry out to God. Is your prayer life a testimony of who you trust as your refuge? If people heard you pray, would they acknowledge the fact that God is your refuge? God is the one who is helping you. You and I have been given the opportunity to pray about anything. Pray about all things. Don't let us miss the opportunity to pray that God Himself would be our refuge. People are attacking us. Are we asking God to be our refuge, or are we attacking back? When people don't think that we're acting with integrity, who do we trust to plead our case? Do we trust God to do that, to be our refuge? Or do we start looking for others to help in this process? As we started this psalm, he makes it very clear that throughout the writing of this psalm, he is calling upon God. He is asking God to work. He is praying that God would be his refuge. The second thing that he does here is he declares the source of his refuge. There in verse 6, when he says, "By you I have been sustained from birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb, and my praise is continually of you." He gives us a picture. He says, I declare this reality. That's why I'm praising God, because I declare His work of grace. Look also too in verse 8 where he says, my mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Do not cast me off in the time of my old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver. In this psalm, he says, God is the one who is going to deliver me. Yes, he prays for that, but he also declares it. And when he says, God, you have taken me, cared for me from my mother's womb, he is declaring, in essence, God protecting him, providing for him, watching over him, giving him the opportunity to trust and to experience what only God can do in our life. Verses 15 and 16, he says, starting in verse 14, he says, but as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. He says, O God, you have taught me from my youth. I shall declare your wondrous deeds. Verse 18, and even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation. He wants to tell others about God and about God's goodness. Is that characteristic of your life? Are you living in a way that you want to tell not only future generations, but tell the people that are with you now, that you work with, the people in your family, the people you recreate with? Do you want to declare to them how God is your refuge, how God is there to help you? He's your strength. He's the one you turn to. He is the one you stand with. You know, when you and I declare something, we say this is true. There's a lot of politicians today wanting you to stand with them, wanting you to vote for them, wanting you to rely upon them. But the only person who is never going to fail us is God. He's never going to be looked at as a person who has failed or who has missed the mark or has disappointed us. I mean, we may be disappointed sometimes because God doesn't solve our problem the way we want Him to, or because God doesn't answer our prayer the way we want Him to. But that doesn't mean He is not our refuge. And when you and I stand with Him, we declare that God Himself is the one that we trust, and God is the one that we look to. Verse 20 in the NLT says, you have allowed me to suffer much hardship, but you will restore me to life again. What is that? That's a declaration. It's a declaration based upon faith. He's believing that God, even though he has experienced many different hardships in his life, he's believing that God will ultimately prove himself faithful to what he says he is going to do. And God himself does that as we look at this psalm. Who would others say is your source of protection? If you look at verses 10 and 11 here, for my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver. You ever felt like that at times? You ever felt like you were in a situation that nobody could deliver you from? God can. And God will prove it. Excuse me. God will prove it as we trust in him, as we look to him and ask him to be our protection. He will do that, even though our lives are not always perfect and they're not always according to our plans and our purposes. Thank you, Mr. Tom. All right. The last thing I want us to look at in this psalm is the statement that the psalmist makes, whether it's David or someone else, about, I praise God that you are my refuge. Look at what it says there in verse 23 and 24. It says there, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed. My tongue also will utter your righteousness all day long. He says, I'm going to praise you. Now, I would say he's going to praise God no matter what happens. That's the statement that he made there. Although there were hardships and difficulties, I am going to trust God. I'm going to continue to praise him. It's a declaration of commitment to praise God as our refuge. I know this is an older song, but Larnell Harris used to sing a song that said, were it not for grace, I know exactly where I would be if it were not for grace. He goes on to say, forever running but losing the race. If it were not for grace, if it were not for grace, where would you be? Would you be facing life all by yourself or with the people that you want to help you? You would, if it were not for grace. If God did not offer himself to us and freely give himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ, all of us would have no refuge. We would have no place to hide when judgment comes. We'd have no place to get relief from. We'd have no security. We'd have no rest. We'd have no place to hide.
of refuge where we could hide from the enemy and the plans that he has for us. But praise God, he has given us grace. And he's given us grace through his goodness and kindness to us. You know, when I look back on my life, I would be a hypocrite if I did not praise God for what he has delivered me from. When I look at my childhood, my teenage years, when I look at that time, I see the hand of God over and over again, protecting me, watching over me. And if we're honest, there's times when we don't know God has protected us until later, or in heaven, we're going to find out that God has been watching over us. He's been protecting us. He has been our refuge when things happen to us that we can't explain, when things work out not like we really hoped or not like we really wanted them to, when we were facing the attack from a person or the attack of the enemy. God has come to be our refuge. Therefore, let us praise him. Let us worship him. Let us cry out to him, shout to him for his goodness and his graciousness to us. That is what praise is all about. Praise is something that builds up in our life because we acknowledge God working in our life. That's what Larnell meant in that song. He has great praise in his life because what God has done and how God has worked and how God has moved in the midst of circumstances that we might wish were different. But God can take care of us. And God can deliver us in the midst of those. And as we look at the totality of Psalm 71, really as we look at all of the Psalms, it is about either a person's experience of trusting in God as their refuge, as their help, or it's about the importance of trusting in God as our source of help. So as you look at your life today, who is your source of help? Ryan preached a few weeks ago out of the passage 2 Chronicles chapter 16. In this passage of scripture, it talks about a king, King Asa, who had followed God's leadership in his life, but not in his old age. He drifted from the Lord. And at that time, God sent a prophet to speak to Asa. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, starting with verse 7, he said, "At that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, 'Because you have relied on the king of Aram, that sink in for just a few minutes. Because you have relied on the king of Aram.'" Asa, at one time in his life, trusted in God to be his source of protection, his source of security, his source of refuge. But now the prophet is coming to him with a different word. Because you have relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Luban an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You have acted foolishly in this. You have failed to trust in the only one who can really protect you. You have failed to depend upon the only one you can really trust with your life. You have missed the mark. You and I have to look at our life on a consistent basis and say, have I missed the mark? Is there a time when I was trusting God to take care of me? I was trusting God at my point of need. But are you doing that today? Is that true of you? Are you looking at God as your refuge, not for a period of time, but for your life? For your whole life, trusting him to be your refuge. We pray. We praise God that he's our refuge. We tell our story of how God has delivered us from challenges that we have faced. And we experience God's great work in our life. May not happen just on Sunday. May happen sometime during the week. May happen when you look to God and you ask him to be your refuge and you find him to be faithful in those things. Whenever it is and whatever it is, God will prove himself faithful. Let's pray together.